Yeah, as Sia said, we are out in Amsloti, and Amsloti is doing well. I mean, we planted in 2019, and you know, it was an adventure, and then we moved into the venue. We became officially part of Olive Tree in May this year and moved across to Mundo Vida, which is a restaurant, and we are bursting at the seams. We went from probably a core of about 30 to now we have on any given Sunday around 75 people at church. And you know, they're not all people from other churches. They're a lot of locals who had just stopped going to church. Or people who are newly saved. And so if and when, I'm sure you guys pray for us often, and when you do, please pray for a venue for us, because we need space. And that is such a great thing to need. And I know that God, and so it's just for me, it's like, God, release the space you've got for us, because we know that it's there. And as I shared tonight, we are going to carry on with our Enjoying God series. And the title of my message tonight is Enjoying God's Rest. Now, every year, I'm not into New Year's resolutions. They just bring so much like disappointment and like in yourself by February. So I don't do those. But what I do is towards the end of every year, I spend time asking God what He has for me in the coming season. I love to do it. I start around October and I start to pray and I start to ask God. And for last year, the word that God, He just gave me one single word for the year, and it was to just tuck in and hold on. That isn't one word. I'm well aware. But it was this picture of just the word was yield. So just give yourself to what I'm doing. And if any of you have seen the now vintage movie Finding Nemo, you will remember the very cool turtle. Do you remember him, the Australian turtle? He's my favorite character from Nemo. And Nemo and Dory hop onto, I think it's called the South Pacific Gyro. It's this massive current. And they just go with these turtles. And that's what I felt last year was like. I felt like I was holding on as this move of what God was doing in our lives just swept us along. And it was good things. We became part of this family last year, but that came with a whole lot of amazing things, but a lot of logistics, a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of things to kind of wrap our heads around. My organization, The Chat, exploded. As Sia said, I traveled at least once a month. I was somewhere in the country. Our daughter started at a new school. Our twins started high school. Brad had a full-time job. We were leading a church, and it was wild. It was great, but Brad and I often look at each other and go, I don't know if we can do that again. And so when the end of this year came and I started to ask God, what is 2024 going to look like? I was very grateful to hear the word abide, a word of peace, a word of rest. I'm not under any false assumptions that this year will be quiet or less busy. But what I am sensing in God is that I have a need for rest. Because one thing I did not do well in 2023 was rest. I did not stop enough. I did not drink enough coffee on my veranda. We did not have enough date nights. We didn't stop and rest enough. And I know that that is so important for my soul. And as we explore this concept of rest tonight, I want you to think of your own life. Because sometimes we're like, no, I'm so chill. You know, like I spend loads of time on the couch with Netflix. I'm like, I'm rested up. There's a difference between laziness and rest, just saying. And there's a difference between distraction and rest. And so the deep, abiding, soul-fulfilling rest of God is a very, very important benefit of living this life with Jesus. And He cares not only about our physical rest, but He cares about our mental, our emotional, and our spiritual state as well. And so I want to start off just talking about three reasons I think we really, really need to think about and prioritize rest. And then I want to just share four things of, I'm not going to tell you how to rest. That's totally up to you because everyone rests differently. I have friends who run to rest. I mean, I feel like that's a little bit of a, you know, whatever. But I swim to rest, so maybe it does. But how we rest is up to you. But I think it's important for us to think about what rest looks like. So the first reason I believe we need to rest is because our souls are restless. If you can put that scripture up, please, that first scripture. It says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of our heart. Now, this is quite a complicated scripture because God both puts the desires into our hearts and then he fulfills them. So it's not like Jesus, I have a desire for a Bugatti, and then Jesus goes, boom, it's a desire in your heart, have a Bugatti. That's not what that means. It means he puts desires into your heart. As he's forming you, he's putting desires into you, and then he's the one who ultimately fulfills those desires. And so this is important to remember because we need to know that we are infinite beings with infinite desires that will ultimately only be satisfied by an infinite God. And it's important for us to know that because if we think that we can completely satisfy our desires here, we will run with perpetual restlessness. I was talking to my sons about Ronaldo the other day, who's now playing soccer in Saudi Arabia. And we were like, well, what on earth is he doing in Saudi Arabia? It's not fun. It's not like beautiful. And they're like, more money. I was like, hasn't he got enough money? And I was like, well, there's never enough money. Like, I don't know anyone who has a lot of money and goes, this is enough, I'm cool. The desire is always there for more. And then if any of you are into swimming, you'll have heard of a swimmer called Michael Phelps. Does anyone know who he is? Most decorated Olympian of all time. He won a total of 28 medals at the Olympics. He won the most golds, the most medals in an individual event. No human has achieved more. And he says this, he says, I was always hungry. I wanted more. I wanted to push myself to see where my max really was. But that intensity has a price because he says, really, after every Olympics, I fell into the most major state of depression. So you can reach the highest like pinnacle of human achievements, it does not satisfy the restlessness of your soul. Another example of this is our sexuality, because we know that God puts a desire for sexual intimacy into a human being. The desire to be sexually intimate with someone is a gift from God. But you take God out of that equation, and that desire is completely dangerous. And it can wreck you. You know, I mean, there's a whole industry called the porn industry based on this fact. It makes about $100 million US a year based on the fact that human sexuality outside of God is just a rampant desire for more extreme. It's called the porn arms race, actually. It's like, what can we create? What other stuff can we create? Because this isn't satisfying, that isn't satisfying, that isn't satisfying. So this is what I do for a living. I talk about sex, so I get a little bit sidetracked with these things. But it's interesting to know that because of this desire out of control, it just gets more and more extreme. So one of the most watched genres of porn is called Barely Legal. And now there's a move to change people who are sexually attracted to children from being called pedophiles to be called minor attracted people. Because the envelope just gets pushed and pushed and pushed because a desire outside God is dangerous. And all of our desires outside God are dangerous because he put them there and they need to be fulfilled in him. And so Dallas Willard says this. He says, desire is infinite partly because we're made by God, for God, to need God and be with God. Apart from God, the desire for the infinite is misplaced and placed on things that lead to destruction. And so he's not saying that we shouldn't be ambitious, we shouldn't aim high, we shouldn't want amazing sexual relationships within our marriages, that we don't need to want a nice pair of Vans. I mean, mine and Justin's shoes, hey, that is a picture of God loves all kinds. Just saying. But a nice pair of white sneakers or whatever, like it's not about that. But it is about the fact that We can't ever expect these things to satisfy us because they don't. And if we think they will, it leads to dissatisfaction, to frustration, to anxiety and stress and overworking, overeating, overexercising, overentertaining, and all of these things as we try and fulfill our restlessness because we'll always want more. So the first reason we need to remember to rest is because of our restless hearts. The second thing is media. So the media monetizes our restlessness. It basically takes those desires that are within us and it makes money out of us. And the average American sees about 4,000 adverts a day, and I don't think we're far behind. But every advert, every ad that comes up on your Instagram feed is there to stoke your restlessness and to tell you ways that your restlessness can be quenched. And you know, what is so unfair is that because Meta owns everything, the company that owns Facebook, that owns WhatsApp, that owns Instagram, it watches what you talk about on your WhatsApp, and then it puts those ads onto your Instagram. And so it literally has direct access to your heart. Plus, we get those apps for free, but you know they're not free, right? The cost is you. They're making money off you because it collects all your data all the time to curate the social media space to make you the most frustrated, the most restless, the most envious that you could possibly be in that space. And so media makes us even more restless. And then we add to that the performance culture that we live in. That achievement is everything. We feel performance pressure. I mean, hashtag parent goals, hashtag couple goals. Don't buy into that, okay? No couple goals. Just don't buy into it. Church goals, fitness goals, life goals. There's a goal for everything. And so everything is about being better, being the best. And again, goals are great in the right place, in the right way, with God at the center. So restlessness plus media plus performance culture equals emotional unhealth and spiritual death. Hence the need for rest. Jesus comes to give us rest. Rest from the hustle. You know, hustle is one of those words that has become so like trendy, like I gotta, you know, the hustle. Hustle's a terrible word. Like, don't buy into the hustle. Hustle is like hustle brings me stress. And grind, hustle and grind, the two words, that's not cool. The grind, I gotta grind, you know? No. You just have to work with Jesus and, you know, let him do the rest. Okay, Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, one of my favorite scriptures. This is Eugene Peterson's version. It says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? If you work for the church, that might be you. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. He says, watch him. I'll teach you how to rest. Jesus wasn't watching Netflix on the couch his whole life. He was working really hard. He was doing what his father had asked him, what he saw his father doing, but he knew the rhythms of rest. And then John 15, which is not up there, this is the scripture that God's really been speaking to me that says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me and you will bear much fruit. And I want a fruitful life. I don't know about you. And it comes from abiding, because being overstretched, being burnt out, being busy, being frustrated, being snappy, being lazy, being disconnected brings no glory to God. It really doesn't. People don't look at me and go, whoa, what does that girl have? I want some of that. When I'm behaving like that, it just isn't. And so a good question to ask yourself is, when do you rest? You know, if your life was quantified like the battery on your phone, are you the person who, you know, if full bar was like, I'm connected, I'm present, I'm patient, I'm loving, you know, I'm like, I'm in this really great, healthy space. If that was full bar and then, you know, empty was depressed, anxious, isolated, disengaged, like, when do we stop to rest? Are you like, because I'm kind of like that person who, I like to drive my car till it's empty. Like, you know those people who like fill up on half? I'm like, why do you want to keep going to the garage? It's like so boring. So I know that there's like, if it says 50Ks, there's a lot more left in there. And there's a line, there's even more left in there. And I can still get to the garage. You know, me and my, we live on the edge a little bit with my kids. They're like, Mom, just go to the garage. It's like, but do we live like that? Do we wait until we're like flatlining before we rest? And you've got to remember this, is your rest is not just about you. Because you do not live well if you don't rest well. And we know that what God calls us to do, if we put it in a nutshell, is love him with all our heart, all our mind, and then to love people. And if we don't rest, if we don't connect to him like Jesus did often, just go and rest in him, we don't love people well. We don't have time for them. We don't have patience for them. When, you know, we live in Amshloti on that front road. And so we have a lot of people walking past our house. And a lot of people stop and chat. And if we don't rest, if we don't sometimes close those doors and just not be with people, then we, this is when we know we haven't rested enough. It's like we see people and we hide. But if we rest well, then we can engage and we can connect and we can be with people. Because 80% of loving people well is being emotionally healthy and spiritually awake. Just being like abiding. Because when you abide, you know, then God's life and love can flow from you. So how do we rest? Like I said, different for everyone. Brad naps. I don't nap. That's how I knew I had COVID. The one day I was like sleeping in the afternoon. He's like, she's sick. Something's wrong with her. But I do love puzzles. In the holidays, I did like 3,500-piece jigsaw puzzles. But I was like, this is just frustrating and annoying. So we all rest differently, and it's going to look different for all of us. But just a couple of practical thoughts for me about what rest is. So the first thing is rest is a day. So the word tells us from the beginning that God worked really hard at creating the universe, and then he took a day off. He chilled. He rested. And he rested so that he can enjoy what he had made. So he could look at it and go, this is amazing. Because if you're working 7 days a week, you never get to be grateful and enjoy what you're doing and the people around you. And work can be addictive. And sometimes we just work so much and we just don't know how to stop. Because it's what we're used to, and I know what that feels like. But we need to have margins in our lives. John Mark Comer has written some amazing books. One of them is called Garden City, and this is from that book. He talks about the margin in life, and here's a list of a life with margin and a life without. So as I read it, just think about where does your life fit in all of this. So first will be margin, and then without margin. So quiet over noise. And remember, the noise can be your social media, your phone, your emails, your WhatsApp. Quiet over noise. Deep relationship over isolation or individualism. Delight over distraction. Enjoyment over envy. Clarity over fog. Gratitude over greed. Contentment over discontent, working over grinding, from love over for love, contributing over consuming, and trust over anxiety. So if we were more on the second words, chances are you need a few margins in your life where you have space to reconnect to God and produce that good fruit. And the second point on rest is that rest is a discipline. It is something we need to be disciplined at. Hebrews 4 verse 9 to 11 says this, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest must also rest from their work, just as God did from his. Therefore, let us make every effort to enter God's rest." Rest takes discipline. We need to actively put rhythms in place in our lives. You know, whether that is at your lunch break, you don't work through lunch, or you just don't move away from your computer onto your social media. You get up, you take a walk, you take some time to replenish your soul. It is getting up early and taking some time to center yourself with God. It is taking time at the end of the day, perhaps, to just sit and be with God, to spend that time with your family, and then to work from there. And then the third thing is that rest is a state of being. You know, we go on holiday always the last week of December holidays. So it's that kind of 8th of January, just before schools go back, we go away. And we do it so that we come back as rested and we start the year as rested as possible. And there is part of you that just wants to hold on to that feeling of being on the beach and nowhere to go. But the reality is that within a week, that feeling is gone. It actually has to be a place where you live from. And I did physics and maths at school. Go figure. But the one thing I remember from physics, other than some random things on the periodic table, is Newton's law. And I often think of this law when I think of rest, because it goes like this. Newton's first law of motion states that a body will remain at rest unless it is acted upon by an outside force. So our state of being as followers of Jesus is a place of rest. It's our identity. You know, when that psalm that says, forget not all his benefits, one of the things that comes with being a child of God is that you live in a state of rest. But then what happens is outside forces move us out of our place of rest, into hustling, into stressing, into disconnecting, into feeling like we have to do more, to be more. But actually, what we need to do is just go back to our state, to our true state of being as followers of God. And so we need to find ourselves there. And I this is something that I really have worked at over my journey as a disciple of Jesus. And I know when I'm there and I know when I'm not. And I do make every effort to go back there. And I often say this to people, you know, when they talk about parenting or your career or whatever, is like, I'm so glad I get to do it with Jesus. I'm so glad I get to go back there and go, okay, Jesus, where are we going? What are we doing? What is today going to look like? Or I wake up very early in the morning, but it's not for a good reason. It's because as soon as I wake up, my mind starts to go and I can get myself a little bit anxious. So what I do is I get out of bed and I go and find Jesus. And I center myself in him. And then all of those things that are causing motion, they come back into rest. But it takes discipline for me to bring myself, to remind myself of who I am and to find that place that I live in. And then the last point that I want to share is that rest is a person. There is no rest outside Jesus. There is momentary reprieve from pain, perhaps. You know, forgetting or numbing. But outside Jesus, there is no real rest. There was a 4th century African monk, and I apologize, I forgot his name. He says, our hearts are restless until we find our rest in him. And he says, it says in Acts 17, in him we live and move and have our being. And that scripture I read from Matthew says, I will teach you the unforced rhythms of his grace. It's Jesus. Grace is the undeserved favor and goodness of God and the mercy of Jesus. Outside of him, there's no meaningful rest. Without relationship with our Father, there is no rest for us, and we are in a state of eternal restlessness. So only through his gift of eternal life is there rest. And so it's for those of you who haven't maybe heard of this concept before, might be new to church, it's simply this. It's surrendering my life to him and saying, Jesus, thank you that you have died for me, that you have died for my sins. Thank you that you have taken them away as far as the east is from the west, and thank you that you don't even remember them. I give my life to you. I want to live in you, with you. I want your Holy Spirit to fill me and lead me and guide me. And then that is where we find our rest from now until eternity. And that is how we navigate the restlessness on earth, is a reminder to ourselves that we are not made for this place. We are made for eternity. We are made for a better place. The desires of our spirits will be satisfied one day, but they won't be satisfied here. So while we live here and while we make our way through this world, we need to live in the rest of Jesus with our focus on him and our empowering by his Holy Spirit to navigate the world and to have our desires on earth met in Jesus. Can I pray for us? Jesus, we're just so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so humbled that I even get to stand here tonight, that I get to speak about you. I just thank you for your work in each of our lives. I thank you that because of you, we have rest. I thank you, Lord, that we breathe you in and we enjoy you. And we thank you that your rest is a benefit of being your children. It is our birthright. It is our privilege and it is our joy. And I pray, Lord, as this week goes and as life gets full again and we get busy with all of the good things that you have given us to do, with the meaningful work you have given for us, Lord, that you would teach us the unforced rhythms of your grace, that you would help each of us in our own unique way learn the beautiful rhythms of work and rest and rest and work. And I just thank you, Father, for the new wineskin that you are moving us all into. And we thank you that as you move, we move into the more that you have for each of us, that we will continue to walk in the easiness of your footsteps, Jesus, walking at your pace and in your way and in your rhythms. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Tea and coffee. Thank you so much for having me.